Thanks for tuning in to WYSO on WYSO.org and NPR One. I'm Lewis Wallace. The Dayton Public School District has announced the launch of a new office for males of color. It's modeled after projects in Oakland, California, and in Minneapolis designed to address racial disparities in education, as well as suspensions and expulsions. The district's chief of school innovation, David Lawrence, spent time in both of those districts and spearheaded the launch here. I asked David Lawrence why the district thought it was important to invest in this idea.
I will give you one data point that stands out for me, and it's that African-American males last year lost over 50,000 days of instruction.
In this school district?
In this school district due to suspension. So we know that when we have a disaffected population like this, ultimately it creates this, and you may have heard this term before, this prison of pipeline mentality, that if I'm not in school, then I'm not in school. And if I'm not in school, that means I'm in places and doing things that I shouldn't do. And it creates a burden for the community at large in lots of different ways. So it's a financial burden. It creates a huge gaping hole in the family structure.
What are the goals? Can you spell out for me what the goals are of the Office for Males of Color?
So there are some really hard goals that came out in the board presentation. So there's a reduction in suspensions. There's an increase in graduation rate, an increase in the number of advanced placement courses that African-American males are taking, a decrease in the number of referrals. But there are some other soft goals that you can't necessarily measure right away. So there's quantitative and qualitative. And one of them was to create a survey on a grit survey to determine African-American males' prospects on how they thought they were going to be successful. And work through that survey to change some of the attitudes and own personal beliefs about themselves. And then also to work through how other people kind of viewed and felt about African-American males and have them think about some of their, I want to say, biases that you may not even know that you have until we brought them to your attention. So there are some hard goals, and we'll measure those, and that's exciting. But there's also some other things that are tertiary that we're working on as well.
And what about this kind of key issue of suspensions? How will this office try to reduce the numbers of suspensions and time that males of color are spending out of school?
One of the key things that we saw in Minneapolis, and it was a reverse approach. In Oakland, they focused on the student, and that was really interesting, and there were some very close connections there. They focused on the student and curriculum and building, I want to say, self-awareness. In Minneapolis, they focused on the adult. The very first place we went to was a school for the arts, where the entire staff was there for a 90-minute professional development session or professional learning around biases as it relates to African-American males, and that you may not even know these until you're made aware of them. So they started by making the adults aware of how they felt. So for us, it'll be a combination of both. Certainly want to create enrichment experiences, but we'll have to also have this adult training with principals, teachers, custodians, family and community engagement personnel, anybody that comes into contact with this initiative. We're going to have to train the adults as well.
Kind of saying adults have a responsibility for checking where they're coming from when they're looking at one student and saying that's going to be a suspension or that's going to be a punishment, looking at another student and maybe not coming to the same conclusion.
Absolutely. And I certainly don't want in any way, shape, or form to come across as though we do not understand that young people, especially adolescents, engage in deviant behavior. And engaging in such behavior after being made aware, after being given multiple chances, there has to be consequences at some point. So we're not suggesting that consequences don't have a place. I am a former principal, and I get it. But we also are taking a really good hard look at the data, and Lewis, we want, if you and I have if we commit the same infraction, and you go back to class and I get sent home for 3 days, that's a problem.
There's going to be a director and several facilitators, and how will they go about making these changes?
So I look for the coordinator and those facilitators to, first of all, they'll be out in the field in the buildings. And I think they'll take some of those data points, and not I think, I know, they'll be working closely with teacher-based teams, building leadership teams, working closely with teachers, parents, and the community to create programming to identify students who are not being successful. And they will create kind of like a support network to track and monitor and support that population of students, again, African-American males, that's not successful. And we'll have monthly report outs to the office where I work, my office, the Office of Teaching and Learning. And they'll utilize some of the practices that I saw in Oakland and Minneapolis and all over the country that deal with changing the curriculum, so using a culturally based curriculum to reach those young men. And also trying to increase the additional extracurricular activities that are before school and after school so that you can keep students engaged in the process of school and engaged in what we call this self-fulfilling prophecy. If I can show some success at some point in my life, I can build on that.
I want to ask about resources for other groups and specifically women of color. Where do they fall into this? First of all, are they facing some of the same disparities? And second of all, if so, why not include women of color and black women in this initiative?
So, yes, they are facing some of the same disparities. I just had a meeting today out of one of the schools with one of the nurses, Nurse Boone. She's amazing. And she's piloting a program called Don't Give It Up. And really what it's saying is for adolescent and high school young ladies and saying don't engage in sexual activity before you have a job, before you have degrees, before you can maintain and take care of yourself. And so she's trying to really stem the tide of teenage pregnancy here in Dayton Public Schools. Again, many of the trailblazers and the supporters for this have been women. And as we go through this process and build and understand males of color and what we're doing right to change things for them, those same things can probably be applied across the board for all disaffected groups, Hispanic, and it is males of color, so that includes Hispanic, but it probably can apply to all disaffected groups. That means students of Appalachia who are very poor and subject to the same broken homes and mental illness and what do we even say, malnutrition, a lack of an engaging academic environment at home. You know, some of these behaviors, they manifest themselves across the spectrum.
David Lawrence, Chief of School Innovation for the Dayton Public Schools, thanks for joining us.
Glad to be here.